Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 41 to close at 26,252. It's another record high close for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Whenever the Dow Jones Industrial Average hits a record high close, for some strange and archaic reason, we have a celebration at the Money Radio Megaplex. Money Radio staff gathers in the control room, and the Money Radio Symphonic Orchestra plays the celebratory theme music. I know it sounds remarkably similar to the Olympic theme music. Go figure. At any rate, we have James wearing his Dow 26K cap. Well done, James. Finally, about time you updated that. We have Wes, we have Renee, Chris, Marcus, Gerard, and the ubiquitous Crespin. They pull out their cell phones almost in unison there, and they turn on the flashlights. We used to do candlelit ceremonies, but Doreen has been missing in action lately. We are looking forward to her speedy return. Okay, if you head down to the Money Radio Bistro, also known as the Break Room, you will find a lovely selection of Costco bulk cookies. They are delicious and cheap. Also, we still have some chocolate milk, courtesy of Walter Carver. So head on down there and just enjoy. And there they go. Dow Industrials up 41. A record high, 252. Didn't look like we'd make it early in the session, I'll tell you that. Stocks were down. The Dow recovered, though. The S&P 500 down one at 2837. NASDAQ did not recover at all after a strong day yesterday, down 45 at 7,415. Russell 2,000 small and mid-caps down 11 at 1,599. Yield on the 10-year Treasury up 3 basis points at 2.65%. Oil up $1.43 at $65.90 per barrel. And gold up $16.80 at $1,358.70 per ounce. Speaking at the World Economic Forum in Davos, U.S. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross said U.S. trade authorities were investigating whether there is a case for taking action over China's infringements of intellectual property. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin told reporters in Davos, Switzerland, that short-term weakness in the dollar isn't a concern at all. He added, "A weaker dollar is good for trade." Such remarks are a bit unusual. For his part, Wilbur Ross thinks only a cynical person would interpret weaker dollar is good for U.S. trade to mean weaker dollar is good for U.S. trade. But Mnuchin didn't just want to not say a weaker dollar is good for trade by talking about how a weaker dollar is good for trade. He also wanted to talk about the Treasury market amid rumors that China is considering slowing or halting purchases of U.S. debt. Mnuchin said, "I'm not particularly concerned about the Treasury market," adding that it's not an issue in all my conversations with Chinese counterparts. Tell you what, China could certainly spook the markets. The dollar index dropped about 1%. Crude oil and gold both jumped today on a weaker dollar. The truth is that administration officials do not have ultimate control over the dollar. A strong dollar is typically associated with a strong U.S. economy. Right now, the world economy is recovering, so investors may be moving money away from the U.S. and into Europe and emerging markets. The U.S. has a big fiscal deficit, which it has to finance from abroad. Foreigners won't be keen on buying fixed income securities in a declining market. 10-year Treasury bonds now yield 2.65%. That's up 16 basis points in the last month. 5-year yield is up 0.5 percentage point in the last year. It appears the administration thinks it can use a weaker dollar as a cudgel to convince other countries to agree to new trade terms that are seen as more favorable to the U.S. It's seen as hardly a coincidence the remarks come the same week Trump signed an executive order imposing tariffs on washing machines and solar panels, prompting concerns of a potential trade war with South Korea and China. There are few more efficient ways to accelerate trade wars than to publicly denigrate your own currency, making foreign exporters suffer. Trump is scheduled to speak Friday at the World Economic Forum in Davos, where he is expected to push his America First message. Today, the Trump administration escalated its battle with sanctuary cities. Justice Department told 23 local governments that they must prove they are abiding by an immigration law if they want to continue receiving money under a federal crime-fighting program. The letters from the Justice Department demanded proof that the city's police and sheriff's deputies are sharing information with federal immigration agents. If the communities refuse to respond, the government would issue subpoenas ordering them to comply. The letters said they would not be awarded new grants and that the government might come after them to return money they've received from previous grants if they're found to be out of compliance. Members of the bipartisan U.S. Conference of Mayors, whose annual winter meeting in the nation's capital kicked off today, had been slated to sit down with Trump later in the day to talk about the opioid epidemic and infrastructure, but the group's leader canceled the official session, citing the letters. National Association of Realtors reports existing home sales hit a 5.57 million seasonally adjusted annual rate in December. Sales of previously owned homes tumbled in December as an ongoing inventory crunch worsened. Existing home sales were down 3.6% for the month, though they were up 1.1% compared with a year ago. The biggest force in the housing market is still lopsided supply and demand. Inventory in December dropped 11.4% for the month and 10.3% for the year. It marked the 31st month in which supply was lower compared with a year ago. At the current pace of sales, it would take 3.2 months to sell all available inventory. That's the lowest since the realtors began tracking that data back in 1999. And that pushed prices higher again. The median sales price in December was $246,800. That's up 5.8% compared with a year ago. Earnings season continues to come in strong with S&P 500 growth expected at 12.4%. That, according to Thomson Reuters data through this morning, of the 88 companies in the index that have posted results, 78.4% have topped expectations. That compares to the 72% beat rate over the past four quarters. General Electric posted a wide loss for the quarter, although it did stick to its full-year profit forecast, which many analysts feared it would not. GE forecast further weakening of its troubled power business and reported a $10 billion loss and a 5% fall in revenue. Also weighing on the stock, the SEC has opened a probe into GE's accounting. United Continental vows to match low fares from its competitors and expand capacity. United plans to raise capacity by 4-6% in 2018 and by similar levels in 2019 and 2020. The airline will also match the aggressive pricing of smaller, low-cost competitors. Investors fear already tight margins will be squeezed even further. United dropped about 11% today. After the closing bell yesterday, United posted better-than-expected fourth-quarter results. Texas Instruments, largest maker of analog chips, offered a sales forecast that missed estimates, citing weak demand from mobile handset manufacturers. Ford Motor posted a lower-than-expected quarterly net profit hurt by rising commodity cost and unfavorable currency exchange rates and said it expects more pain to come from higher raw material prices in 2018. Toys R Us will close up to 182 stores, part of its plan to reemerge from Chapter 11 bankruptcy. The closures amount to about 20% of its stores and are scheduled to begin next month, with the majority of stores closing mid-April. Bank of America will eliminate its e-banking accounts, which did not charge monthly maintenance fees if customers received paperless statements and didn't use bank tellers for routine transactions. Bank of America has converted such customers to another checking account that requires them to keep more money at the bank to avoid fees that are higher. The bank has been transferring e-banking customers to its core checking account. That account comes with a $12 monthly fee, unless customers have a daily balance of at least $1,500. So if someone has $1,000 in an account, it works out to 1.2% per month, or 14.4% per year, just for B of A to hold your money. Meanwhile, Bank of America, along with the rest of the country's top banks, will get a significant tax windfall from the recently passed tax bill, a $3.5 billion tax windfall, to be exact, according to a recent Goldman Sachs report. Dow Jones Industrial Average today up 41 to close at a record high, 26,252. S&P 500 down 1 to finish at 2837. And the NASDAQ drops 45 at 7,415. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and the daily blog, eatthebankers.com. Next week is the Phoenix Open, the Waste Management Phoenix Open out at the TPC of Scottsdale. It is probably going to be great weather. It's always a great event. And I've got a few tickets for you. Two tickets to the second caller who can answer this question. Name the winner of last year's Phoenix Open. Here's a hint. He was also the winner of the 2016 Phoenix Open. Be the second caller to name last year's champion of the Phoenix Open. Here's the phone number, 602-324-1510. That's 602-324-1510. Be the second caller with the correct answer, and you get two tickets. They're good for any day of the week next week. You will have to pick up the tickets here at the Money Radio Studios. Second caller, 602-324-1510. I'm telling you, it pays to listen to the Financial Review.